All right, let's talk about football. So, I know a lot about football. Like, for instance, I know that what you want to try to do is get a home run in football, right? No. How many know it's not to get a home run, it's to get a goal? Raise your hand. Okay. You're all wrong, too. It's to get a touchdown. So much for your knowledge of football. 75% of the men in the United States watch football on a regular basis. 75% of men. And women are almost as close. Okay? So it's a very important game. Lots of people love it. Of the top 35 shows most watched in 2014, 34 out of those 35 most watched shows were football. Okay? So the Steelers are unique in that it's family owned. Who owns the Steelers? The Rooneys own the Steelers. This is the son. His dad, Art Rooney, got the Steeler franchise. No one really wanted it for Pittsburgh. They're like, football, what game is this? What a lose. So he bought the franchise 1933 for $2,500 because no one wanted it. It's worth over $1 billion at least now. So it was a good investment. For all of you that lived back in 1933, you could be kicking yourself. You could have owned the Steelers. Now, I'll share with you my one football joke. I thought it's funny, but if you're a cat lover, we love cats too, okay? We've had two cats over 32 years, Dancer and our present cat, Tigger, okay? And they seem to go on forever, our two cats. So an apartment building was on fire, and the woman is, you know, up pretty high, and they bring the truck with the ladder, and they tell her to come down the ladder, but she's got her pet cat, and I'll just call the cat Tigger, which is the name of our cat, and they're like, you can't hold the cat and go down the ladder. She's like, I can't leave my cat Tigger. And so they were like, well, then throw your cat out the window, and we'll catch the cat. She's like, I can't throw Tigger out the window. How do I know you'll catch the cat? Well, there's a crowd of about 100 people. This guy raises and says, I'm a football player. I will catch your cat. So she's like, you sure? I play football all the time. I know what I'm doing. I'll catch your cat. And so she says, okay, you know. And so she throws Tigger out the window. And Tigger sailing down. And sure enough, the football player catches Tigger. Everyone cheers, and the football player spikes. Oh, well. I thought it was funny. No one in the second service, they're like, how horrible can you be? So. All right, so. Now, football is a very serious sport. People get beat up and injured. And people even get killed playing football. This is 2 weeks ago. 17-year-old Chicago boy named Andre Smith died early Friday after taking a hit on the last play of a Thursday night game. That is 7 deaths for high school football players this year, 2015. That's how serious we take football. Even when high school kids get killed playing football, we don't stop it. It's a sport that's growing. It's a tough, vicious, rough game, and we love watching it. So I want to share about another football game that's just as rough and tough as the game that we watch on TV. And this is a football game, a spiritual football game, that all of us as believers are playing in our own heart, in our own life. See, when you were born from your mother, you were born with what we call the sinful nature that you inherited from your forefathers, traced all the way back to Adam. Your sinful nature cannot please God. Your sinful nature breaks all the commandments of the Lord. The sinful nature is completely corrupted by deceitful desires. Every single man, woman, and child that's born in the world has a sinful nature. But then for the believer, the day that you are born again, you become a new creation, and you get what the scripture calls a new nature. Now, sometimes versions have old nature, old man, new man, sinful nature, you know, the spirit, different terminology, but it all means the same thing. So when you're born again, you get a new nature from Jesus, and the game of football begins in your life. For those that are not saved, they only have one team in their life, and it's the sinful nature that drives them down towards a touchdown that brings glory to Satan. But once you're saved, you have two teams in your life that are fighting against one another. So come to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at some things about these two teams. Ephesians 4, verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. That's your sinful nature. To put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Okay, the old nature is always going to take you towards, you know, death. Death to you physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. That's the goalpost, where the goalpost for the Lord is to bring glory to God and its truth and life and health. Okay, so you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. That's your new nature, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So one team, your new self, wants to go down the field in this direction towards true righteousness, right living, and holiness, and to score a touchdown for the glory of God. The sinful nature is wickedness and unholiness, and wants to move you down the field this way to score a touchdown to the glory of Satan. Now, there's some examples here, like verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off, this is what's in your sinful nature, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So the sinful nature likes to lie and deceive and not tell all the truth and go that way. But the new nature wants to be truthful and honest and open. The next example, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And so the sinful nature gets angry and says things it shouldn't say, does things it shouldn't do, and holds on to that anger till it becomes bitterness and rage. The new nature may get angry, but the new nature knows can't let the sun go down on your anger, which basically means you got to give the anger right to the Lord right away. I know some of you can go, well, I got 10 hours to remain angry before it's nighttime. But really what the verse is saying is you know to give it right to the Lord. And that love covers over a multitude of sins. And you're not going to hold on to it. And you want to go in truth. The third example here is verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. The sinful nature likes to steal. Steal from their employment, steal from God. The sinful nature likes to take from others, to steal from others, because the sinful nature is very selfish, very focused on self, and views everyone should serve them and give them everything. The new nature says, no, I work for God. I don't work really for any human boss. God is my boss. He has my time. I want to do a great job because I'm serving the Lord, and I want to earn money. I'm not looking for people that give me. I want to have money that I can give to others. That's the new nature. Come to Galatians chapter 5. Now, every football team, it's a book right before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 5. Every football team has members of the football team, players. So how many players are on the field in a football game? How many players on each team? 11. How many players does each football team have that they can send onto the field? 53 players. Okay, so you got the players. So I want you to see, here's a little bit more about the game, and then I want to introduce you to some of the football players. So verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what activates the new nature. So I can say, live by the Holy Spirit, live by the new nature, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit and your new nature. And the new nature, your spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in what? They're in conflict with each other. So that you do not do what you want. Sometimes the opposing team has the ball. And you do things you don't really want to do. So here are the players. Here's the players of the sinful nature coming out. Okay? The first one's in verse 19. The acts, these are the real obvious superhero players on the one team. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. This is the one where sexual immorality runs out for that long pass. This is to really score a great touchdown. This is for the 50% of men and women who cheat on their spouse and commit adultery. And it's a long pass to sexual immorality. He catches his touchdown. Satan, you get the glory. Just destroyed another marriage. So that's the player, sexual immorality. But the next player is impurity. So under that player, I see that's one of the short handoff players on the sinful nature side. Impurity is uncleanliness. That'd be pornography. It's not a total touchdown commit to adultery. It's just a handoff to go 10 yards, get a first down, yeah! But you're heading towards that adultery when you're playing around with impurity and lusting after people of the opposite sex, or the same, well, whatever. So then the third player is debauchery. Verse 20, idolatry. That's when you put anything before God. It might be money, your job, sports, your car, your pleasures. That's idolatry. That's that player there. You've got witchcraft. To me, that's all the other religions other than those that serve Jesus Christ, because you're serving Satan, whether you realize it or not. Hatred, discord, jealousies, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, verse 21, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So there's some of the team members on the sinful nature side. Now, verse 22, we've got, which we often know as the fruit of the Spirit, but I like to view these nine players as the team of God's side. Okay, of the new nature. And so player number one is love. Player number two is joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, you will note that often you get against your opposing team person from the other team. Like you line up. So for instance, on the new nature side, you've got love. Well, who do you think is across from love? In verse 20, I'll give you a hint. Who's across from love? Hatred. And then I was thinking joy. Joy is on the one side, and across from joy, I thought in verse 21 or something, is fits of rage. Because, see, you're supposed to be joyful always, no matter what the situation. So I thought to myself, hey, cross some joy is, I know I should be joyful, but I'm just mad and I'm going to have fits. So it's a fits of rage. And then faithfulness is on this side. And sometimes the enemy puts more than one player against. So I was thinking sexual immorality is here and idolatry. There's two players to faithfulness. See, sexual immorality is not being faithful to your spouse, and then idolatry is not being faithful to God. So God's got one player. Satan cheats. He puts more men on the field. You'll see he's got more men in that list than God has. That's because, you know, the referees aren't blowing the whistle. Hey, there's too many men on this side. The sinful nature lines them up. So sometimes this side has to deal with three or two players on that side, okay? So you can kind of, I was thinking self-control on this side and drunkenness on that side. The players line up. Now, let me talk about, come to Romans chapter 7. Come to Romans chapter 7. So I want to share with you. So you now kind of understand that before you're saved, your life only goes one direction. You only have one team. There's no such thing as playing football because you're just all, Satan's just driving you down to one end. And finally, you know, the final end of the game is you go to hell. So, but when you're born again, now you got these two natures that are in you, and the game begins. Now, when you get saved, in my analogy here, the owner of our team is not Rooney, it's called God. And in my analogy, so you got God the Father is the owner. And then you have the coach, okay? This is the coach of the Steelers. But who is the coach for the believer? It's the Holy Spirit. So is the coach able to talk to any of the players when they're on the field? Yes, the coach can talk to the quarterback. Now, how does he do that? Sign language? He's got a radio-controlled helmet. Now, I don't know what team this is. What team is this? All right, this is Green Bay Packers. And you'll notice that on his helmet, there's a green dot. Does anyone see that? A little green dot? According to NFL rules, the quarterback and one defensive player on each team can have a radio to the coaches on the sidelines to make communicating and calling plays easier, so that the referees are aware helmets with radios are marked with a green dot. Okay, so Coach Tomlin can speak to the quarterback, okay, and one defensive player. But the Holy Spirit can speak to us as well with our radio-controlled helmet of salvation that we put on. And the Holy Spirit calls the shots. Now, after I got saved, let me explain. I've got the football, okay? When I got saved, there were things in my life. And there are things in your life that God just gives you amazing victories right off the bat. It's kind of like I threw the ball and I had some problem in my life, and man, my player caught that ball and I got a touchdown. So let's say, like, before, this is not true for me, okay? But I've seen Christians that say struggle with drugs. They get saved and Jesus does this amazing pass. He did this amazing pass to self-control or to goodness or to kindness, because drugs is not being good to your body. It's really, you may think it feels good, but it's really destroying you emotionally, physically, in every way. So maybe the ball gets passed to goodness. Goodness goes in for a touchdown, and you have victory. You never have problems with drugs again. You've won. Every time the ball goes to goodness, you win, and it's just amazing. It's amazing deliverance, and you share, man, when I got saved, Jesus delivered me from drugs just like that. So sometimes it's like a pass. I love when quarterbacks do passes. I wish there could be a rule that the quarterback is not allowed to hand it off to another player. He's got to pass it, okay? When we played in football in the neighborhood when we were kids, we always had to pass it. You didn't hand it off to anyone else. But other plays in life, it's hand off the ball. And it's brutal. As you hand it off, and that guy goes about 2 years, and pow, he's hit! And everyone's on top of him from the opposing team. And I'm like, oh, he got 2 yards. You know, and then you go again, and it's a handoff over here, 1 yard. Oh, no, it's a handoff over here, back, 3 yards. It gets really frustrating, you know, and it's just brutal. It's hit. It's going forward. It's four steps forward. You just hope you get enough to get a first down so you can keep going. And sometimes you're watching a game, it takes 10 minutes, and it's the same play. It is taking forever going down the field, 10 yards at a time, play after play after play. And it's like, oh, this where. And that's the way it is sometimes with us. When it comes to sanctification, sometimes God just, or you know, it's a great play, touchdown, victory. We're doing wonderful, and other times it's brutal down the field. We're heading towards godliness. We're heading in the right direction, but man, we're struggling and we're getting knocked, you know, hit a lot, painful. But as you know, in the game of football, sometimes the opposing team gets the football. And that's what the Apostle Paul discusses in chapter 7 of Romans. What happens when the opposing team gets the football? So Romans 7, and I start in verse 14. We know that the law... It's God's word, the playbook. The Bible is the playbook. Is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I want to go this way, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Does anyone understand that? When the sinful nature has the ball, sometimes you do stuff like, oh, why did I look at that again? Why did I lie like that again? I don't want to do that. I really want to be true. Why did I use the Lord's name in vain again? Why did I skip church again and not honor the Sabbath? Why did I not honor my parents and listen to them? I want to honor my parents, but I don't honor them. Why? I'm so frustrated. The sinful nature's got your life. You're going the wrong way. Verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Verse 17, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. So the other team's got the ball, your sinful nature, and it's moving down the field. And it's very frustrating. Verse 17 again. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I want to be in the offensive. I want to be in control of the ball, of my life. But I can't do it because the other team's got the ball. Verse 19, for what I do is not the good I want to do. I want to go this way to get the touchdown. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. That's the two teams lined up against each other. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, in the word. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. I see this inside of me, this battle, this football game, this war going on that's brutal. Verse 24, And this is how you feel. This is how you feel when the sinful nature's got your life heading down the wrong way. What a wretched man I am. It's so horrible when you start doing those things that you don't want to do, when you keep losing your anger, and when you keep lying, and when you keep whatever. So frustrating. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Because it's heading towards a touchdown of death. Death to your marriage, death to your job, death to your self-esteem, death to your emotions, whatever it is. A touchdown is death. For Jesus, it's life, truth, the way, and the life. What's the answer? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. So when we loved it when Troy played. Do you guys remember Troy? Or was that too long ago for you? I loved Troy playing defensive because in every game that Troy was in, I got so excited when the announcers were like, Troy's everywhere! Wherever the ball went, you know, when the other team had the ball and they would throw the ball, Troy was there to tackle the person, or even better yet. I mean, there was a point there for years, you knew Troy was going to intercept the ball, right? He just knew it was going to happen. I got some pictures. Here's Troy intercepting. The ball is coming to this player, and he looks like Superman flying. And he said, no, that's my ball. Interception. Okay. Or this one here. This one, the ball obviously went through the hands of Fumble Fingers. And Troy was, thank you. That's mine now. Interception. Or I like this one here. A guy's just about to catch the ball, and Troy reaches and, sorry, that's mine. Interception, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, we would just wait. We could wait till Troy. We just knew he's going to do it. Well, our Troy is Jesus Christ. Believe me, when the sinful nature has the ball and is driving you down, you yourself are going to be helpless. You need to send Jesus Christ in for your defense. He has to intercept the ball before it goes too far to head back in the right direction. In fact, I'm going to give you my advice here when it comes to football. So one of the rules, it's rarely ever done, is you know that the quarterback can take the ball and take it back and hand it off to someone else, and that other person can then become the quarterback and throw the ball. Did you know that? But that's rarely ever done. Now, I know the sports figures say, well, that's because the other players aren't good at throwing the ball. I'm like, every football player wants to throw the ball. Don't get me. That's because the quarterback wants all the fame for themselves. I mean, why would they train their own competition? Hey, because what if they're better? What if you hand off the ball and, hey, wow, the coach is going to be, you're out, Roethlisberger, you're in as the new quarterback. Okay. So quarterbacks don't like to do it. I want to suggest to you that you're the quarterback, and the best thing you can do when you're the quarterback, when you're going back with the play, is hand the ball off to Jesus. You should have Jesus as your defensive player to intercept the ball, and your offensive player. The reason we don't hand the ball off to Jesus is because we want to control our own life. We want to be in charge. We want to make the decision who we think the ball should go to, but that's a mistake, and that's when we throw the interceptions, when you want to know, how does the other team get the ball? That's because in our self-will, in our self-desire, we throw it because we don't want to hand it off to Jesus. We want the glory, and we throw an interception into the hands of the opposing team. So my advice is, whether it's defense or offense, hand the ball over to Jesus as fast as you can and let him do the throw. That's what Romans 12 is that we are to die to self. We're to offer our bodies, our souls, everything to Jesus Christ. It's like handing the ball to Jesus. Go ahead, you do the play. And he's really good at it. The other thing, do you know a player can play offensive and defensive? The last time that was really ever done, even though rule books, you can have the same player play offense and defense, The last time that was ever done officially was in 1960. 55 years ago. But you can have the same player on both sides, and his name is Jesus. So I do want to close with football is not meant to play by yourself. Because if you're going to play by yourself, you're going to get creamed. Football is a team sport. And so is church. So I notice that there are some Christians, like I'll meet some Christians and I'll say to them, hey, where do you go to church? Who's your team? What team do you play for? And they go, I don't go to church. I'm a Christian by myself because there isn't any good team to be part of. I have never seen a Christian who's by himself grow in his Christian walk. I've just never seen it. Maybe you know some Christian that never goes to church and is really growing and doing great things for God and winning people to Jesus and having the Lord's Supper and seeing people. But maybe you've seen it. I've never seen families. Sometimes families say, we don't go to church. We're not any part. We have our own home church. Again, I've just never seen a family that separates itself out from the body of Christ do very well in the game of spiritual football. That's why in Hebrews it says, don't give up meeting together. That's why in Hebrews it says, we get together so that we can have prayer power. We can meet with our coach, and we can pray for one another, encourage one another, and we can work together to reach people for Jesus and work together to accomplish God's will and to reach people for Jesus. There's no doubt that Jesus meant church. That's why he said, where two or three are gathered, that's where I'm at, where I'm going to be. Because I don't want people just to be by themselves. I want people to gather together, and it's a team sport. It's a family. And that's how you win at the game of football, encouraging one another.